Identity Wars, Part 3. I heard this preacher one time. He said he got saved, and after he got saved, his dad said, "I don't know you." Because he became a preacher, you know. His dad said, "I don't know you anymore. I don't know who you are." His dad didn't get saved, he did. And his dad had this image of who his son was going to be or needed to be. You know, I remember growing up, and then even in college, you hear people saying they want their son to be a football player or a basketball player or something like that. And you're like, you're looking at them like, are you trying to take away your son's identity? They actually, I remember this. People actually tried to put some identity on their son. You're going to be a football player. You're going to be a basketball. You're going to be even their daughter. You're going to be a tennis player. They would do it to their children, trying to put an identity that they don't even know who they are going to be, you know? What they're going to like, trying to train them up before they even have a chance to decide. I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to train Trump's son to be president, you know, one day. He might not want to be president, you know. He might choose a whole different path. Just like famous preacher, what was his name? Yeah, I know his name, it just went out of my mind. But that famous preacher that was real famous, he had a son. His son finally got saved, but he's not in the same path of his dad, you know. But he has his own little ministry thing going on. But I've seen it my whole life where people try to put some identity on somebody and try to take away their identity. You've seen it in marriages. You've seen it in churches. You've seen it. Let's say you have the gift of teaching and you're in church. If you see something they don't see, or you see past what they can see, they get jealous and they shut you down. You're not ready yet. What do you mean? Just because I know more than you, or I see deeper than you, means I can see where it's different teaching in a classroom environment. You got to be careful what you say because people get offended. But anyway, I've seen it. People do it to themselves. They identify with their car. They identify with their watches. They identify with their tools. They identify with their corporation, the job. I work at Google, or I work at Facebook, or something like that. I'm a programmer. Now what happens? What happens when the AI is the programmer now and they lose their job? I saw it with these trust. I saw it with trust designers that have been designing trusts for a long time. They finally could send their jobs to China and design the trust and send it back over and just have it checked through the computer. And these guys lost their jobs. Where's their identity now, you know? If you put your identity, or somebody tries to put your identity in this earth, in this plane of existence, it's a shaky ground. If somebody tries to project an identity, they're going to be disappointed. If you try to set your identity in something down here, you're going to be disappointed. If you try to project an identity on somebody else, you're going to be disappointed. If you, okay, let's say you have a brother or sister in Christ and you project some identity that they're like perfect or something. And then when they walk in the flesh or they do something they shouldn't do, or you know, let's say they go get drunk or something, you know, God, that mess, you know, it could be a preacher, it could be a Sunday school teacher, somebody in the choir. Then it, and you project some identity that they're this perfect person, which they're not. Jesus is the only, they're perfect in Christ, yeah. But you project an identity, even on the pastor. You project an identity on them in the natural that they're going to act 100% right in the natural all the time. Then you're disappointing yourself. Because the only one that can be worshipped, who's high and lifted up, set apart, holy, separate from sinners, is Jesus. The only one separate from sinners, 100%, went to the cross to die for sinners. And then the sinners, they all point their finger at each other and say, look what you did, look what you did. Try to steal your identity, which is faith alone in Jesus alone, your positions in Christ, and they point their finger from a legalistic standpoint instead of looking at that person in Christ in the Spirit. Everybody's on a different journey speed-wise. Everybody who's saved is being changed into the image of Jesus. But everybody's path is not on the same highway. Some of them are in 35 mile an hour zone, some in 60 mile an hour zone, 70 mile an hour, some are for 15, some are in 5 miles per hour. Everybody's in different, on a different highway, going different speeds to their destination. But they're all moving towards that destination. So if they're born again, now, if they're born again and every time you're around them, they just talk about the world, the flesh, prior life, and they have no conviction, and you have to question, you know, should I even be fellowshipping with this person? Because every time I talk to them, they're trying to pull me down to their speed. So if we put identity on somebody that's not really who they are, we'll be disappointed. If they put it on us, if we put it on them, we'll be disappointed. If they put it on us, they'll be disappointed. If we try to put it on ourselves, we'll be disappointed. Because you got the potter and the clay. The Bible says you're already seated in the heavenly, so you identify with Christ. Even when you mess up, yeah, you should repent. Yeah, you should claim the blood. Yeah, you should figure out why you were thinking that way. You know, ask God why you were thinking that way. Because anytime you go into darkness, or it's lies, anytime you go into lies, it's not beneficial to you. Love and truth, you know, truth, that's pretty much the whole shebang, love and truth, agape love and truth. If you walk in agape love and truth, then you're above 99% of the people down here. If other people are doing wrong, does that mean you can do wrong? No. That's all you can do is keep doing right. Something came to my mind. I'm trying to remember what I was going to say. Oh, most people, they are under guilt, shame, and condemnation when they mess up. But there's therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, right? So you get up. Let's say you fall down. Okay, let's say you're walking down a path and you fall down and get dirty, right? You stand up. You shake the dust off your clothes. And you start over. You don't just get depressed and beat yourself up when you're covered by the blood. The purpose of falling down is to teach you how to walk. The purpose of falling down and messing up and making mistakes is teach you how to walk. One of the biggest lessons you have to learn is you have to say, it's not about me. It's never been about me. Just say those words. It's not about me. If you can step into that, you've stepped into a higher walk. Whether it's on a job, it's not about you. Whether it's in a church, it's not about you. Whether it's in a marriage, it's not about you. Whether it's in a neighborhood, a city, a state, it's not about you. It's about Christ and His program and Him using you to help these other people see through this maze of lies that we're in down here. And most of the stuff we deal with is self-inflicted, to be honest with you. But yeah, we're being attacked. Don't get me wrong. We're being attacked, you know. And there's such things as the sins of omission, sins of commission. Enemies from within, enemies from without. And that's why we're down here, to go through that process. I forgot what I was talking about. Part three, what is it? Part three, identity wars. So the identity wars, really, if you get your identity right, you won't be putting identity on other people, and you won't let them put an identity on you. And so that's the secret right there. Get your identity in Christ. And don't even identify with the flesh. Don't identify with your natural body, your natural realm. Yeah, you will be judged for things done in the body, but you don't identify with this place down here. Let's say you were born in a millionaire's family and you have an inheritance, but you leave and you go to another country and you live in the pig pens. You can get out of it. That's not who you are. You can step out of it at any time and go back home and be a millionaire or whatever, billionaire. And so why identify with something that's in the lesser realm? And that's the learning process. Why would you identify with something in the natural when you can identify in the spiritual? You must be born again, born from the Spirit, born from above. You're not identified with your natural birth. You're identified with your spiritual birth. And sons of God, daughters of God, you identify above, not below. That's why he says set your affections above, not below. Because that's your true identity, you know. Once you identify above and you really walk in it and you believe it and you have settled it in your mind, people can come up and call you every name in the book. You know it's a lie. They say, oh, you're a thief. Even if you, let's say you went to jail and you were a thief, but you got saved, you got out of jail and you quit stealing, you're no longer a thief. But if you go to AA, they'll say, you're always an alcoholic. No, you're not. You're a saint. You're born again. See, the reason AA tries to tell you you're always an alcoholic is so you keep coming back to their meetings. Hello? It's just like these legalistic churches. Guilt, shame, condemnation. No, you're not an alcoholic anymore. You're not a thief anymore. You got saved. Don't let them put some identity on you to put you back on false identity, put you back under guilt, shame, condemnation, because that's not who you are. That's the game, people. That is the game.